Last week, Donnie did a great job, wouldn't you agree, as he laid out Impact for 2011 and urging us to live a life that's worthy of the calling that we've received. And I truly hope that we've reflected on his words this week. And I hope that we as a congregation have taken seriously those five questions that Donnie gave us. Do we really believe Jesus? Will we really obey Jesus? Are we ready to abandon ourselves, die to self, so we can live for Him? Are we telling others about Jesus? And finally, when was the last time we invited someone to church? Powerful questions that each one of us, as a Christ believer and a Christ follower, should ask ourselves. This morning, I'm going to try my best to follow up with his sermon last week, putting the wheels on how we do that and how we can make an impact for God's kingdom. Donnie talked about why we should be making an impact, and I'm going to be talking about how we make that impact. If you would, join me in prayer as we start our journey this morning. Heavenly Father, we just praise you. And we pray first of all for Donnie. We pray for his safety, his good health, the group of individuals that he's with. Father, may they make an impact on the country of Haiti. I pray that all those that hear their words will be receptive to accepting you as their personal Lord and Savior. And Father, I just pray through today that we will learn the importance of making an impact for you, and that everything that we do can have eternal consequences and eternal benefits as well. Father, guide and direct us through this morning. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. If you would, if you turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. This morning we're going to be looking at three areas of our lives in which we can make an impact. And that's going to be with our talents, with our treasures, and finally with our time. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, again this week says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received." And my question is, do we take that statement seriously, or do we sometimes make excuses on why we're not making an impact? And really, are there any good excuses for not using our time and our talents and our treasures? The other day, I Googled church excuses. And you cannot imagine how many thousands of church excuses that there are. But I pulled a few out of that search. And these are solutions that some churches had for people who make excuses. The first one, church said, "We have steel helmets for everyone that comes to our church, for those that say the roof would cave in if I ever step foot in that church." Another church said, "We put cots in the fellowship hall for those that say they're just too tired, and we put lazy boy chairs for those that can't seem to ever get comfortable. We have eye drops for those that stay up too late. We have blankets for those that think the church is too cold, and fans for those that think it's too hot." Probably my favorite was, "Restaurant gift cards will be available for all of those who can't seem to go to church and also cook Sunday dinner on the same day. Doctors and nurses will be in attendance for those who plan to be sick. They give hearing aids for those who can't hear the preacher and earplugs for those that can." And finally, I thought this was an interesting one. One church said, "Well, we decorate each Sunday with Christmas poinsettias and Easter lilies for those who have never seen the church without them." And I know that we can use humor as we look at our excuses. But isn't it sad that we do make excuses for not doing kingdom work? And probably the saddest excuse that I've ever heard is, "There's always time in the future for me to do something for the church or to serve God in some way." And really, it's an expectation here at Maple Avenue Christian Church that we all be actively involved in kingdom service. And let's start by looking how we use our talents for God's glory. In the Sunday school class that Donnie and I are teaching this quarter, we're talking about spiritual gifts. And we teach about the gifts that God blesses us with. And hopefully we're going to answer the question of how can God use all of us. And there's three different types of spiritual gifts that God has given us. And the first are manifestation gifts. And those you can read later if you'd like are in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. And not everyone has these gifts, but they are supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit working through people. And then there are ministry gifts that are found later in Ephesians chapter 4. And these, again, are not for everyone, but they are for those that are called to the ministry. And the last set of gifts are the motivational gifts. And these are located in Romans chapter 12. And we read in that that every believer has at least one. And they have been given to build up the body of Christ. So each Christ follower has been given at least one gift. And my question is, are we using that gift to the full potential, or are we neglecting what God wants us to do? Hear this. God has gifted us for what He has designed us to do. And we should all be beating down the door, be using that gift to make an impact for God. With my role as administrator here at the church, I also get to be involved with assimilation, and I'm blessed that I get to meet people and try to match up their gifts and abilities with service opportunities here at the church. And I am continually just amazed of the talents and the abilities of the folks that we have here at Maple Avenue. I met with a lady a few weeks ago, and before she came to my office, I'd ask her if she would complete a spiritual gifts inventory to show what her spiritual gifts are. And she was just so excited when she came in, and the enthusiasm as she said that she knows God has been preparing her for the work to do here at Maple Avenue to further God's kingdom. And isn't it amazing how God works through us as He prepares us for those works? And there are some that honestly say, well, I just don't have anything to give. Well, I tell you this morning that that's simply not true. God has equipped us all with abilities to further His kingdom. Just look at Moses in Exodus chapter 3. Moses said, "Who am I to do what you asked me to do?" Even in chapter 4, he continues to make excuses on why he shouldn't do what God wants him to do. But didn't God use Moses in great ways? Absolutely, as he brought the Israelites out of Egypt on an incredible journey to the promised land. And sometimes we think that, or we assume that to be in service, to be doing God's work in God's kingdom, that we have to be in a position where we're seen, and maybe we're not interested in that. Maybe we think of, well, I'm not a vocalist or a musician, and I can't give a communion meditation. I'm not a greeter or a teacher, the folks that we see up front each week. But it takes an incredible amount of people behind the scenes to make things happen here at Maple Avenue and ultimately make an impact for God's kingdom. And I honestly hesitate to even begin to give examples. But I think it's important for people to know that there are individuals like a retired lady in our congregation. And she comes in and she disinfects and scrubs all of the toys and all of the books in our children's wing so that our kids have a healthier learning environment. We have folks who come in every week and have our communion prepared so that we can take the Lord's Supper together. We have a group of ladies who come in every Friday morning to fold bulletins. And I can't even begin to count the number of volunteers that we had around here on Christmas Eve that allowed us to go out into the community and to share Jesus with those that may have not had any other contact that day. And the list goes on and on how we can use our gifts. Remembering that we've all been blessed with a different gift, how do you plan to use yours, if not already? God blesses us not only with our gifts and abilities, but He also blesses us with treasures. And I know what you're thinking. Here we go again. We're going to be talking about money because that's all the church talks about. And even this morning in my prayer time, I said, you know, God, are you sure you want me to talk about this? But Jesus talks more about money than any other topic in scriptures. So I know He understands the influence that money would have on us. In Matthew 6, verse 21, it says, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And then later in verse 42, he says, you cannot serve both God and money. And then Scripture talks about us robbing God. Malachi 3:8 says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? Well, in tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse." Some folks say, well, that's Old Testament, and that's true. But the New Testament talks even more about our giving. It says we should give out of our need, which would be a whole lot more than a tithe. And Donnie just does a great job of speaking about stewardship, and I think it's well worth repeating exactly what a tithe is. And a tithe is 10% of our gross income. Yes, our first fruits would be before anything's taken out. Our taxes, our pension, our health insurance, our YMCA memberships. In fact, the leadership of Maple Avenue believes so strongly in tithing that this church tithes our general fund. The money that this church receives in your tithes and offerings, 10% of that goes out to world missions. Offerings. How is that different than a tithe? Well, an offering is the money that's over and beyond your tithe. So if you're giving your tithe on a Sunday morning, and then you're giving to the building fund or benevolence, or maybe you are supporting a missionary on your own, then that is your offering. And we also believe that the storehouse referred to in the Scripture is the local church where you attend and where you worship. So how many of us are robbing God? How many of us get more excited about seeing what's in our savings accounts or our 401ks than what we see going to the church? Now, I want you to hear this carefully, because I know and I'm sure that we have a number of families and individuals here who faithfully tithe. And in fact, I'm sure there are a lot of people that give a whole lot more than the tithe. But statistically, Maple Avenue is not a church of tithers. I simply took the number of family units that we have here at Maple Avenue, and I multiplied that by the average household salary of Macomb, Illinois, and I divided that by 10. And that should be our annual giving. And in comparing that number to what was actually given in our general fund in 2010, there was a difference, and there was a big difference. We were short $254,000 from statistically where we should be. We sadly fall short of the amount that should be in the offering each week. Statistically, our general fund should be $11,300 a week. 2010, it averaged $6,400, a difference of almost $5,000 a week. If everyone tithed, we wouldn't have had to have asked our ministry team leaders to cut their budgets this year. We could have budgeted additional funds for outreach programs. We would have additional staff on board, including a new discipleship minister and a full-time counselor. We wouldn't be concerned about where the money's going to come from for our children and for our curriculum. And we might actually be sitting in our new worship center in the new building. And we could easily meet our budget for 2011, which honestly is a huge step of faith for us this year. You see, tithing and not tithing makes an impact. Studies show that Christians give about 2% of their income to the church, but yet we're considered one of the wealthiest countries in the entire world. And by not tithing, it makes a global impact. You see, since this church tithes 10% of our income to missions, less money that's given to the church means less money that we can send out. Are we robbing God? In his book, Radical, David Platt writes about wealth that we have in the United States. And here are some of his quotes. He said, "The reality is that most everything in our lives in the American culture could be classified as a luxury, not a necessity. Why not begin operating under the idea that God has given us excess, not so that we could have more, but so that we could give more? The truth is, there will continue to be millions and millions of people who never hear the gospel as long as we continue to use our spare time and our spare money to reach them. And finally, the way we use our money is a barometer of our spiritual condition." Powerful thoughts as we look at how God uses the resources and how we use the resources that God has blessed us with. A few weeks ago, I was watching the NBC Nightly News, and Brian Williams made a comment in the last 5 minutes that everyone needed to watch the next story because he said, "It'll get to you," and he was right. The story was about a 94-year-old man named Loren Kruger. He was a retired farmer from the big city of Leroy, Minnesota. It was a little town of 925 people. And he had seen his share of sadness. He had lost his first wife, who had died. His second wife died. And his only son died as a teenager of cancer. And he was a World War II veteran, and he humbly lived out his days in a very simple white house in Leroy, Minnesota's Main Street. And after he died, and after they opened his will, checks began to arrive at the post office in Leroy, Minnesota. The first check came for $220,000, and it was given to the local senior citizen center. Now, this was a senior citizen center that had an average budget of $600. Next, the Catholic Church in town received a check for $1 million. Then the Presbyterian Church got a check for $400,000. Then the Bible Church, Bethany Bible Church in the town, got another $400,000. And then the Lutheran Church got a check for $400,000. But that wasn't the end. Another check for $220,000 arrived to the local fire department, and then another $220,000 arrived for the local ambulance service. At this point, I would have checked my mail every day. All told, this gentleman had spread out $3 million in a town of 925 people. Now, I know what you're going to say. That's a great little story you just told. It was an old man that left a bunch of money to a town. But for you Paul Harvey fans, here's the rest of the story. All of the places in this town that were given money started to look at how they could give it away and help others in need. All the churches that had been given money were aware that the town's assisted living center needed updated and a new kitchen. So they pooled their money and paid for that. The senior citizen center wrote a check to the school district for all new playground equipment. The Lutheran church took their money for the new community pool. And then there was the Christian church in town. The Christian church was the only church that received nothing out of his will. And that's simply because it was started after his will was written. But the other churches took note that the Christian church hadn't received anything, and you probably guessed it. They pooled their money, and they wrote a check to the only church in town that didn't receive any of the inheritance. They interviewed a gentleman in that town, and he said, "Why not just give it all away? It was given to us. We didn't have it before, so why not use it to help others who need it?" Isn't that true in our Christian walk? God has blessed us so much, so why not give it to someone in need? So did his money make an impact? You better believe it did. And can the money we give through our tithes and offerings make an impact? You better believe it does. Tithing is biblical. It pleases God if done in a cheerful manner, and it makes an impact with eternal benefits. So we've looked at our talents, and we've looked at our treasures making an impact. Let's look at our time. God gives us a bank account every morning, 1,440 minutes, and life is short, and Scripture tells us it's like a vapor. So how we use it is pretty important, and we better use it well. And I believe that someday we're going to give account to God himself, explaining how we've used our time here on this earth. In tithing our treasures to God, do we also tithe our time to God? Although, yes, we're to be in worship to him 24/7, do we devote really over 2 hours per day to him? This might include things like spending time in his word and prayer, maybe a small group, or just doing things that are in service for him. Or do we give any time to God throughout the week? Do we just simply come on Sunday mornings and check it off as there's my time of worship? Our vision statement here at Maple Avenue is connect, grow, serve, and share. And we connect by coming together in corporate worship and also connecting God throughout the week. In our grow, We have our education hour, but it doesn't stop there. It continues throughout the week in our Bible studies, in our quiet time as we read his scriptures. And we also look at share, and we know that Christ himself commanded us to share the gospel with others. But what about serve? Are we serving others through a small group, or maybe we're on a ministry team, or even something on our own, but how are we making an impact for God's kingdom in the ways that we serve? You know, going back to excuses, how many of us simply say that we don't have time? And I know I've been guilty of that. I have filled my calendar for years with useless things that really don't make any eternal impacts. And how can we say that we don't have time to follow God's commandment when he gives us the Great Commission in Matthew 28? We're created to worship God, and we're created to make disciples. And both of those things require what? Time. And making good use of our time. And I encourage you to sit down and map out how you use your time. I've done this. In a typical week, I write down how much time I would spend watching TV or watching the news. And it's amazing how we use our time. And it gives you a whole new perspective in our use of time. And when I used to teach the high school Sunday school class, there were times that students would come up and say, you know, I just don't have the time. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to read God's word. I don't have time to come down in church to do anything. And my response was always the same to them. And I would ask them a series of questions. I would say, when you got up this morning, did you have time to put on some clothes? Did you have time to shower? Did you have time to put on your deodorant, time to brush your teeth, time to get to school? And I always hoped those answers were yes. But I would tell them that that's because it becomes a habit. Is it a good habit to brush your teeth and shower and slap on some deodorant each day? You better believe it is. But isn't even a better habit of spending time in service to our Creator? Before long, it just becomes a part of our week in spending time serving God and serving others. Donnie talked in his sermon a few weeks ago about a young lady that came into the church office one day, and she was asking me directions to the Samaritan Well. She'd never been there before. And she said, you know, God's just put it on my heart to go and serve them in some way. After Donnie shared that in his sermon, it was a couple weeks later, we had an entire family just show up during the week, and they said that God had wanted them to come in and serve the church in some way. How incredible. A family walking through the door and saying, how can we serve? And what an encouragement and what a great example of what God wants us to do in our service. And others may say, well, I just don't know where to serve. And we as a church are going to help you answer that question this morning.